Good morning, Dubai Today, with myself, Alex, and also in the studio, Naima, who's a child development psychologist. We're having a lovely chat. Mm-hmm. Why did we have to come back?
Aww,
and
sorry,
yeah. It's nice to speak to everybody else as well. Thank you for your messages, by the way. We've had one message that says, just a small suggestion, maybe you should look at taking your services into kindergartens and schools in Dubai. And you do, don't you? You do speak to some nurseries and places.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that suggestion. It's nice to know that what I'm seeing is being appreciated. So,
I think it's very nice to hear. And it must be so such an interesting topic to actually study as
it
well.
It is, because every child is so different, every family, and especially being in this part of the world, you meet families that are just so different, with different nationalities, cultures coming together, different backgrounds, mindsets, and just coming, and how that child's personality develops is just so interesting to witness.
Do you know, I've been here for nearly 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And the thing that I love, and I do tell people about it when I go home. I'm from Scotland, but generally I tend to go to England.
Okay.
And when I go home, I'm always going on about this, the thing that really, really puts a smile on my face living in this region,
mm-hmm.
is how many children you see out at night and how they interact with their siblings. It's
really?
From where I come from.
Okay.
It's very strange to see siblings not fighting with one another. And I really do feel that there's this real kind of, it's almost like children are brought up to look after their siblings.
Mm.
And often you will see a 5-year-old picking up a 2-year-old and like patting them because they've fallen over.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
When you're studying psychology, there are sort of two general ways of defining a culture. One is an individualistic way where, people are very connected, not really to each other, but very invested in themselves. So it's me, 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 my. What can I do to accomplish things? What can I do to strive to push myself forward?
Mm.
People are very independent. And you've got the complete polar opposite, which is a collectivistic culture where people are interdependent. They come together to form social groups. They rely on these social groups. It's about your sort of social harmony. You care about the norms of the society, you care about the values of the society. And I think where that's coming from is the UAE, or this region in general, tends to have much more of a collectivistic feel than it does an individualistic feel.
Mm.
So children will tend to be interdependent on each other. They're raised to think you have to bring up your younger child and instill them with the same values that we are instilling in you.
Mm.
And this brings about such a wonderful sense of responsibility. And I think this also comes about only because they don't have access to a range of extended support systems, such as extended family members. So you really just have each other,
mm.
you know, and each other, sort of the four of you are then this unit of replacing sort of 16 of you in your home country.
Yeah.
So you have to rely on each other to be able to get along. But that's so lovely that you've actually noticed that and seen that difference.
Massive.
I never really thought about that.
And actually, Ramadan is the time late at night that you see a lot of families out
and
a lot
out
of
and
children.
About.
And a lot of my friends, I actually have a huge group of very, very mixed culture friends.
Okay.
And I think I have more respect for my brother over the years, because he was schooled here anyway.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, but because I've got a lot of male friends who come from the kind of background and culture where they're extremely protective over their sisters and female cousins, and vice versa. You know, my female friends are really get quite frustrated, but quite look up to their male
older
siblings.
Brothers, yeah. Wow, that's fascinating to hear.
Yeah, it's nice. Let's move on then. So we finished with Y, which is why and when kids have too many questions, and we move on to Z for Zs, and sleeping routines, how important they are to children. Obviously, sleep is important to anybody. I know that because I'm not having enough of it.
No, sorry.
It's okay. It's not your fault. I'll blame somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about it and thinking about from a very young age, obviously babies sleep a lot,
mm-hmm.
but they also have very irregular sleep patterns.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Or
do
they?
Well, it depends on how the parent actually trains the baby, which is really interesting to see, because some parents can train their children to sleep at specific times. They're very, very controlled about when the baby sleeps and wakes up. By and large, when, you know, now we're talking really little babies, infants, they need about 18 hours of sleep, which is a lot of sleep.
Great.
And I know, it's so wonderful. You wish you could just rewind the clock and sort of be in that era. One of the biggest things that's happening is every time you sleep, a growth hormone is released, especially during the younger years. And that's when they need this growth hormone the most. So their growth spurts actually take place because they're sleeping. Aww. And only if they're sleeping, which is why they need that much sleep. What is interesting, and I'm not sure if this is sort of something that only comes about in this part of the world, but parents aren't necessarily always aware of how much sleep their children need. You know, so I often see families that are, you know, my child sleeps for 7 hours and or 8 hours and that's enough. And, you know, this child is sort of five and that's not at all enough. You know, this is sort of what's leading to some of their behavior difficulties. A child between the ages of sort of, 12 till about 18 needs about 9, 10 hours of sleep, which is quite a lot and sort of very necessary. 12 to 18, sorry, would be a little bit less than that. It would be about 8 hours of solid, 8 to 9 hours. But anything younger than that, and they do need about 10 hours of sleep, which is important to consider. So if you need to supplement these through naps or longer hours, it is important that they get this sleep.
Well, I remember up until my teenage years, I think my bedtime was normally about 7 o'clock.
Really? Yeah.
And even in, okay, maybe not as I was like sort of getting into my teens, but even my teens, it was 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
definitely.
Not much later.
No,
yeah.
No.
And you'll often find, unfortunately, children who do stay up, you know, sort of a little bit on the rebellious side, they will have their mobiles in their room, they will have their laptops in the room, the computer in the room, and there are so many studies to indicate. There's actually one really interesting one that probably we can get to a little bit later, that talks about teenagers and their SMSing and how that impacts their sleep, only because it makes their brain so much more active, because they've sent off a text, now they're wondering, is their friend going to reply or not? Mm. And on average, they have about 4 people that they're talking to through texts in a night. That's and they're tough. Spending, you know, sort of 30 text messages back and forth at the very minimum, which is a lot of time to spend just texting. Mm. But that's exactly what we're coming to now. And that's exactly what's robbing them of their sleep. So they're waking up in the morning and they're exhausted. Mm. They have an impaired ability to concentrate, an impaired ability to even function regularly, just in their social aspects. They're not taking in as much when they're at school, which is quite a shame.
Actually, I'm really bad because I will wake up. My phone can be on silent.
Yeah, I think all of us are like that.
Yeah,
phone will be on silent. First thing you do.
And no, I'll wake up in the night. I'm always telling my mother, please don't phone me after midnight. And regardless, I always get 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning phone call. I'll put the phone on silent, but I will still wake up with the fact that it's buzzed.
Somebody's going to call. Oh my gosh, that's so... Wow. Sorry, that's probably why you're not getting enough sleep, because it's interrupted sleep.
Yes, I think you might be right. That and I never have a pillow because my cats always steal them. So looking at sleep patterns then, if you've got any questions, 4001 is the SMS number. We'd love to hear from you. Looking at what are the symptoms of an over-anxious child a little bit later on, but why are sleeping routines so important to children? Let us know how old your children are and how many hours sleep they're getting. Are you having any problems where your child is waking up at the same time in the middle of the night? Perhaps there's a problem with nightmares or dreams or anything like that. Please let us know. We'll see if we can answer your questions for you.